joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. Praise Him for the victory. Weapons for you, not our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Praise Him for the victory. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. Praise Him for the victory. Weapons for you, not our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Praise Him for the victory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship Him for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are awesome. I praise You. I worship You. I lift You up this morning. Hallelujah. 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 God, You are good. You are good. Hallelujah. God is good. Yes. Hallelujah. You could be seated. Before I start anything, I want to say for everybody, Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, welcome back from vacation. It's great to have you. We missed you, for sure. We also know you were visiting somebody when you were down there. Jay, who's back there. Come on, Jay. He's sneaking out the back door waving. And Raquel got married, so congratulations. Welcome back, Jay, and welcome to Wisconsin, Raquel. And obviously, today is Mother's Day. So first and foremost, if you're a mother here today, or you've even fulfilled that role in any way in your life, welcome. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. Thank you for being here. Let's give them all a hand. We're excited you could be here to worship with us today. We got an exciting service. There's going to be some fun. There's going to be some speaking. We already had some awesome worship. And there's going to be some prayer. So it's going to be really exciting. If you are a guest today and you received one of these, it's just got a couple questions, name, email, phone number. If you'd like to fill that out, we'd appreciate it. You can turn it in at the back. If you didn't get one of these, you can go to the back outside the door. There's a little half-circle desk out there, and they'll give you one, and you can fill that out. But we just want to get to know you a little bit better, and so please fill that out if you're willing. Also, if today you want to give in any way, we have a number of different ways we can give. There's a plexiglass box out back you can give in. You can go to cgcmadison.org/giving, or is that forward slash? I never know. It's a slash. 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can still send things in the mail. And also you can text, but you have to put a name in there. So you have to put in there, you know, Pastor Phil, if you wanted to go to Pastor Phil. So I took care of you, bud. A couple of announcements about some things that are happening that are coming up. Sunday, May 23rd is our Save Our Nation event. We've been showing videos. Yes, this is going to be exciting. We've been showing videos and had some slides and so on. Essentially what this is a big service that we're expecting some awesome things for that's going to happen in Milwaukee. Now, there's only so many people that can fit in a big stadium, as it were. They're meeting at the UW Panthers arena. Yep, he knows. See, he's been reading. But they're going to have satellite churches all over the state that are going to be showing this. And when I say show it, it's not mean we sit here and we, you know, it's like we're watching a movie. This is the service. And so we're going to come and we're going to expect miracles and signs and wonders. And everybody's been praying. I mean, it's going to be an awesome time. So May 23rd on Sunday night at 6 p.m. So currently we don't have Sunday night services. So this is a chance to come in at 6 p.m. and really take part in something awesome that I guarantee will bless you. And bring somebody along that you want to be blessed as well. And then the last announcement I have, kind of business side of things, is this is our final promotion for Mother's Memorial. So at Calvary Gospel Church, we take like some specific, we focus on specific offerings throughout the year, four or five of them, and kind of a season of offerings. This is Mother's Memorial offering. Today's the last day we're gonna be promoting this. And so Mother's Memorial is, obviously it's called Mother's Memorial, but it really focuses on missionaries. And so two of the key things I want to focus on is, number one, it focuses on appliances for missionaries that are overseas helping and ministering to people in foreign countries that aren't America. Some of them are in America. And it gives them appliances. Actually, well, look at this. We got the Demases here. They've probably taken advantage of this. Yes, there we go. But also, and not more important, but along with it, it's about educating people in the country. Because maybe there's not a lot of people that are here. They're like, let's run over to this foreign country. But when they get there and they can minister to the people in those countries, it's about educating them and training them in the way that they can then minister to their own country folk or people that are in their country. And so that's Bible schools. That's education that happens. So a lot of the money goes towards that. So this is your not your last opportunity, but the last time we're going to promote this. So if you want to give to Mother's Memorial, it's a great cause. You just mark that on however you're choosing to give, whether it's in the offering, in the box. You put MM. Everybody will know what that means, Mother's Memorial. If you want to send it via text, it's MM. You want to send it in the mail, it's MM. And so Mother's Memorial, we strongly promote it. So, and the last thing for everybody is, there's some photo booths today. Right? That's awesome. Now these are not manned. I don't think they have the boas and the glasses and the scarves and all that. This is for mothers to get a picture with their families. Okay? Yep. Okay, so what that means, men and children. Number one, I'm going to give you three things to do. This is really easy. Number one, just do it. Go do it. I don't care if you want to do it or if you like it or if you dressed right or not. Just do it. Okay, number one. Number two, have a good attitude about it. Okay, attitude is a choice, so choose a good one. So have a good attitude. And three, when you're there, this is a hard one, very hard, so start practicing now. Smile. This present probably means more to my wife on Mother's Day than anything else. Anything I bought her or will buy her or we're going to do is getting a picture of the family. And so men, children, take some moments to take a picture with your mother today. There's one right out back. You saw the big white thing on the wall. That's one. And then outside there will be one too if you'd rather have an outside picture. They're both going to be available. Let's respect each other taking photos so we're not photobombing. I'll have to keep my little guy away. But that's what we got. So photo booth today. Now, we want to take a moment and honor moms. You can come over here. Yeah. No, not you. Sorry, Casey. Sophie. Thanks anyway. You were so willing, Pastor. Look at that. Come on up, Sophie. Okay. So before we honor moms, I want to first honor Sister Darlene Grant. This is Bishop's wife. If Sister Darlene, can you, where is she? She's right there. Could she stand? Let's all give her a hand. Thank you, Sister Grant, for all you've done. Whether we're all your biological children or not, you're a mother to all of us, and thank you so much. And then, Sister Lois Grant, or Sister Lois, stand. Thank you so much, Sister Lois, for everything you do for our families, both church family and personal families. We love you. So this is our leadership, our senior pastor's wife and our bishop's wife. And so what we did is we got them flowers. So Sister Lois, this one is for you. And then there's another one over on that side. The names are on there. Which one does that say, Sophie? This one's your Sister Lois. So those are the ones. Now we're going to draw some names. Sister one last minute, so we got a stall here, which is good because I had one more note in here. I did. It's on here. I'm not making this up. But I don't get to do this very often, and she hates it, but I want to take a moment to honor my wife. Yes. No. Well, you got to let me say something first. Yes, she's there. She's got all the kids. Here I am up here on Mother's Day leading stuff, and she's back there all by herself. So, Casey, I love you, and you're an awesome mom and a great wife, and I appreciate everything you do. So thank you. And I'm not just saying that. She keeps us all in hand. Okay, so we've got some names. So now what we're going to do is we're going to draw names. We have 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 12 flowers to give away. Yes, please. We have 12 flowers to give away, and hopefully everybody got their name in as they're walking in, if you were a mom or so on. So we're going to draw some names, and Sophie's going to help. What I'd like you to do is if your name is drawn, come to the front, point to the flower you want, and then Sophie will take your name and tape it to the flower so you can come pick it up after service. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so first name we're going to draw, if this thing stays up here, is Julie Buchholz. Okay. Congratulations. There's flowers on both sides. You just can't pick Sister Grant's or Sister Grant's. Okay. She said that one right there. Can you tape that? The Price is Right. Yes. Okay. Here we go. We're going to draw another one. We're going to mix them up real good here. Here we go. Kim Bellino. Kim Bellino. Congratulations. Come on down. No, now it feels like the Price is Right. Awesome. Okay, another one. Sister Jane Braisman. Short walk. Congratulations. Okay, here we go. I'm going to draw another one. A newer mom here, Sister Sarah Schlobohm, or recent mom, I should say, Sister Sarah Schlobohm. Congratulations. Okay, Rebecca Hittestorf. This side. Okay, we're going this side. Okay, here, this one's for Becky. I just read what's on the paper. Yellow and orange. Okay, how are we doing here, Sophie? How many have we given away? I should be keeping track, shouldn't I? Okay. We got a few. We got some more. We're good. All right, here we go. Some of these are... Some more is not a number. Okay, I know. It's a food. Okay, Sister Carolyn Thorpe. Come on down. It's an old tradition there. You'll have to ask him about that one. If it doesn't have a name tag on it, you can choose it. This pink one's available, and this one's available still. And then 1, 2, 3, 4. There we go. And this one's available. Sophie approves of that choice, she just said. Okay, here we go. We're going to draw another name. Peel some apart here. Sister Nicole Snyder. Where's she at? Oh, there she is. On this side, we have the pink one and this green one. And on the other side, we have a few more. All right, here we go. Cindy Thorpe. Oh, two Thorpes in one. Awesome. Come on down. Congratulations. The beautiful little girl here in the front, she will help you. You just point to where it needs to be. So there's one green one here that's available, and then there's a few more over here. We got the red and white, the pink, the red, and this green one. Oh, the red. Okay. Sister Lana Renvick. Congratulations. You know, I used to, for all of you out there, I used to sit back there every year as the men's names were drawn and Scott Leonardson got one drawn every year. And I used to be like, this is rigged. Scott Leonardson and Jim Rivas win every year. This is not fair. You know, but it's not. I'm drawing this. It's random. I have no idea. Okay, the pink one's available. So the next ones we have left are the red and white one. And then there's a green one. It's a fuchsia. It's a dark eye fuchsia that hasn't been. And there's another dark eye fuchsia over here. These just haven't flowered yet. So, yeah, see that? Okay, here we go. Draw three more. Ready? Sister Ernestine Mollett. Red and white or the dark eye fuchsia? Sophie, she's coming right down. She'll tie it. This one? Okay, perfect. So the next two, you can come down so we can honor you, but you really have a choice of right or left, okay? So, but they're the same one. They're just a little bit different. Okay, here we go. I'm going to draw one here. They're all stuck together. Sister Sierra Graper. Congratulations. Right or left? Right. She chose right. And so that means whoever this is left. How about for this one, you just stand and we'll all give you a hand because we're happy for you. Here we go. This one is Sister Lily Gonzalez. Where's Sister Lily? Oh, there she is. Go ahead, stand up. Give her a hand. Congratulations. This one's left. So this one's Sister Lily. Congratulations, Sister Lily. And those are the, we gave away 12, and we had two for the Sister Darlene and Sister Lois. And then this one's for the other one, Sophie. Here you go. Thank you. Now, we're going to try something a little bit different today. If you're a child under the age of, we'll say 21, that means you count youth. Okay? If you're a child and you're under the age of 21, can you stand? That counts as you. Yes. Yeah, you count. Okay. Child. Whoa. Okay, we're doing pretty good here. Now, parents, families, I recognize in advance having four kids, this might be a little crazy, but we're going to roll with it. Okay? If you are a child under the age of 21, there are flower buckets up here. You can proceed in an orderly fashion out of the front and grab a flower for your mother. Okay? There's four different colors, I believe. Take it back to her. Give her a hug. And go get back to her hug. Okay? If you have an infant, husbands or uncles, that's awesome, Andrew. Thank you. Bring your child down. Hey, Grayson, can you grab one for your little sister, too? Because dad's got her. Awesome job. All right. Nope, not these big ones, guys. Right there. Right there. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mila. Go back. Go back home. Oh, we have a casualty. Oh, no. Okay. Let's see how we're doing here. Let's see how we're doing here. Okay, we did pretty good. We did pretty good. Okay. Now, how many moms are here that didn't have a kid under 21 that didn't get a flower? Handful of you? Okay. Okay, so we're gonna try to get some of these to you as well. Did you guys get your flowers yet? Here. Here we go. There you go. Can you take that to your mom? Okay. So, can you help me out? Grab a bin. Brother Chris, grab a bin. If you're a mom and you didn't have a kid under 21 that gave you a flower, we're going to try to get you a flower this morning. So, raise your hands. Take a different aisle over there. Let's see how we can do this. Happy Mother's Day. Anybody else on this side? Oh, you're not a mom. Oh, Kim. Good. Happy birthday. Who else am I missing? Anybody else? Oh, we got some over here. How you guys doing on flowers over there? Okay, anybody else need one? Awesome, awesome. All right. That was fun, right? So, we've had some worship, we've had some announcements, we've had some honoring of mothers and thanking of mothers, we've had some fun, you're all going to take pictures later. But this morning I'm really excited because when Pastor Roy and Sister Lois and I sat down and thought about, you know, what do we want to do for Mother's Day? How do we want to, who would be a good speaker for Mother's Day? It was interesting because we didn't come up with one name. We came up with three. So that doesn't mean we're going to have three full sermons here. But we asked three mothers in different experiences, different life situations, different ages to come up and share something from their heart, right? And so the first mom that, and don't clap yet, wait till I'm done. The first mom that we want to have come up is Sister Caskey. Sister Caskey is one of the elders in our church. Her and Brother Caskey started coming here a couple years back, and we really appreciated them and really respect them. And so Sister Caskey, please come and share what God has put on your heart. Testing.
Hallelujah. I am nervous. Not usually. This is a big crowd, but I'm happy to be here today. And I do want to say I am happy that I have two pastors now, and I'm not related to them. That's just the best part of all. I actually finally in all my life get a pastor. But it's an honor to be with you today, and it's an honor to be a mother, and it's an honor to be a woman of God. Not all of you maybe have been a mother, but I looked up a definition, and it said, mother is bringing up a child with care and affection. And there's many of you in the audience today that have helped mothers with their children and been such a blessing to them and been a mother to that child. And I had experienced that myself. They said that we could talk about our mother and what we had learned from our mother. And my mother was a member of this church. She was Sister Thelma Bryant. And she was almost nearly one of the original members. She started coming probably around 1949, 1950. And you may have known her as Grandma Bryant. And she was the church secretary for many, many years. In a note to Sister Jessica, my mother took the business meeting notes in shorthand. And then she'd go home and transcribe them. And she was a very witty lady. And I guess after your moms are gone, you realize the impact they had on your life. Because we talk about her all the time in our family. And my daughter-in-law, who didn't get to know her, probably wonders, what was this lady like? But she just comes up in our conversations all the time. And she lived to be just short of her 94th birthday. But I got to thinking when they gave us this little assignment, what did Mom say? And I really couldn't come up with much that Mom said. But her life just boomed. It isn't what she said. It was who she was. And one thing about my mom, she loved the Word of God. When she was a little girl, she'd gone to vacation Bible school in her little town of Arena, Wisconsin. And they had memorized all the Beatitudes. They memorized Matthew 5, and I believe she said 6 and 7. And this stayed with her whole life. And in weeks before she died, when she'd become very, she was in an assisted living home, and she'd become very agitated. And we had to make a trip, and I couldn't be there, and it was kind of humorous. I told the Jewish manager of the place to help her with her scripture because she could still quote this Matthew 5. And it was really cute because he was on his hands and knees at her feet helping her through that. And she still remembered it. The Word of God stays with you your whole life. My mother was fiercely loyal to the pastor. And many of you that know her realize that. But one day as a young girl, we had a little house, and you had the phone on the wall, you know. And her best friend would call every day complaining about the pastor. And my mom didn't get angry very often. I could not recall that much at all. But boy, that day she fired up, and she told her best friend, she said, "Don't you call me again until you can say something good about the pastor." And I was in the living room, I overheard that, and I thought, yay, Mom. I was just a kid, but boy, that really stuck with me, that she stuck up for her pastor, and that meant we weren't going to that lady's house anymore either every week. But sometimes you have to take a stand for what is right. She also loved to make potato salad for Brother and Sister John Grant, and I don't know if Brother Roy got any or not, but she loved to do that, and she loved to give and give to the Lord, and she loved her church. She also steered us around people. You know, the church is a wonderful place, but it's not a museum of angels. It is a hospital. It's a hospital of people that have come to find the Lord, and they're growing and walking with you. And if there was somebody that just probably wasn't good to be around, she didn't gripe and complain about them. She just steered us in other directions. And I didn't even know probably who they were. But she just kept us seeing the good things and the positive things. And I remember one thing that she did say quite a bit is when criticism was vented, a verse she said very often was, "Judge not that you be not judged." Her emotions were very controlled. She'd had a lot of sorrow in her life. My father died when she was 40. And I didn't realize it till I was 40 that, wow, that's kind of young to become a widow and have a five-year-old kid and another son to raise. But she just went on through that and moved, bought a house, and got off on her own. Later, her father and sister died the same day at UW Hospital where she worked, on the same floor, 10 minutes apart, and she had to keep it from each of them how sick they'd been. And she just persevered through that. She was also the rock for her family where there were she had five brothers and sisters, but she was the anchor in that family. Mother cared for people. We had a lot of people come to our house on Sunday afternoon, all types of people. But the ones I remember the most were the ones that nobody else really would associate with. They didn't fit in socially with the church. They maybe didn't get invited out. But Mother invited them to our house, and she was a friend, and she wanted to make sure that they had fellowship. She also was, maybe too much to the point, of greeting new people at church, because I used to think, oh, Mother, sit down, church is starting, you know. But she would always, especially, thank goodness she made friends with the college kids, because I married one of them, and maybe she was trying to get me a husband, I don't know. And the other thing I really remember about Mom is she always filled her car up coming to church. When Calvary Gospel originally started out on the west side, and we were close to church, but then it moved to the east side. And so there was a lot of people caught in between there that needed rides to church, and she picked them up all the way to church. And if any of you know my mother's driving, those people were prayed through when they got to church. And but a lesson I learned from that is never come to church with empty seats in your car. There shouldn't be people in this church needing a ride to church. Go and find them. She brought my cousins. She brought anybody she could find, and especially people that needed a ride to church. One of my greatest honors in life, and one of the hardest one, and for those of you that have aging parents, you nearly have a nervous breakdown taking care of them in that age, but it is your greatest honor. It's your greatest time to pay back to them the care they gave you all the years, the patience they had with you. And it really was an honor to take care of her in her declining years, and she certainly left an impact on us. Now, Sandin and Sister Lois mentioned to me then another part that they wanted us to speak about was advice for young mothers. Well, when I was 30 years old, I could have done the tour route and given you a seminar on what all you should do. But as you get older with wisdom, you realize you don't know anything. I really don't know where you young mothers are. And I really don't know for sure the things you're experiencing. But there's a few things I'll throw out there. I'm not the real deep, deep, deep spiritual person. I'm kind of, just kind of tell it like it is. But one of the first things you need to know is you have to have, and I know you all know this, a relationship with Jesus. It can't be your husband's relationship. It can't be that he's going for a license, and so you've got to be spiritual. You have to have it for yourselves. And mothers have so many times that you're overwhelmed. But there's a scripture in there for everything you need to know. For instance, when my heart was overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You can find a time, rock with the baby and pray. I've had my daughters rode horsey on my back while I was trying to pray. But keep persevering and trying. Another thing, be yourself, providing that is that you're nice. Don't always try to be like somebody else. You have strengths, and as you grow in the Lord, He will help those strengths mature and the fruits and the gifts that you'll find as you go on through life. Another thing that's real important, and this is more just not moms, but just ladies in particular, you will never be any younger than you are right now. I'm not going to be negative, but it is a little bit downhill on the way when you look in the mirror. So embrace the stage you're at right now and just use it. Get everything out of it that you can because you're not going back. And every stage has great things in it, great things. Actually, after 50 was the best. Everybody quit comparing your kids to everybody else. That was so great. Don't be hard on yourself. Maybe you have a family and you have a lot of preteens and teenagers. You've never raised a 15-year-old before, and that's your excuse out. You've never raised one before, and the next one coming behind it is completely different personality, and you have to start all over again. So it is helpful, though, to go learn about the personalities and how to deal with your children. Number one, your life is like a book. Every decade, every stage of life, it's going to just be a chapter. Don't give up on yourself and think, oh, I really totally failed. You haven't. It's just pretend you're writing a book, and that is just a chapter. Another thing, choose to be a happy person. Brother Peter basically mentioned that this morning. Happiness is a choice. Some of the people I know that are the happiest, when you really know what their real life is like, it's full of challenges that they have, but they choose to be happy. Another thing, be moderate. Kind of go down the middle of the road. You can be overly strict, and then you can be too permissive, both ways. If everybody else is having to care for your children and tell you about what they're doing, you're maybe a little bit too permissive. And you can be too rigid as well. And you have to find that balance. And then, believe it or not, you will have 20 to 30 years to get your projects done after your children leave. I remember when I turned 50, my daughter said, Mom, you need a hobby. And boy, I got way too many of them. But while the kids are home, spend quality time with them and quantity time. You can't just get by with doing something really great. Just be there for them. And another piece of advice that nobody will like, but don't always be a mama bear. There comes a time when your children have to become responsible for their own actions. I used to be the principal of the Christian school, and I had to deal with this all the time, that of course their child would never do that. And of course children are good, but occasionally they misbehave. And as they get older, you have to let loose of the tight rein you have on them a little bit so that they learn to accept responsibility for what they've done. Quickly, how to train your children. You want them to have Christian character. How to treat other people? You teach them the teachings of Christ. How to know right from wrong? The Ten Commandments. It's right there, and it's something to be responsible for. How to have wisdom. Go through the book of Proverbs. That tells you what the foolish did, and it tells you what the wise did. And also, ladies, in teaching your children about how we dress and how we live, teach them why. Don't just say, you don't do that. Teach them why. And lastly, a good name is to be chosen. Your family will be known by something. One name that comes to my mind is the Rossings. If I throw out the name Rossings, it brings to you a family that you want to be associated with. Are you known for helping people, or is there peace in your home? Are you known as a giving family? Or whatever it is, you have to hang together as a family. If you don't like each other in your family, that's really sad. Because who else has to like you? The rest of people put up with you. But your family has to be bonded together. And it's important that you help them with that. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Caskey. Wow, for so many things. First off, because I've never seen anybody be that efficient and that funny, but really that wise, right? So if you're a mom here, go back home and watch that, and you can get the notes down on paper when you're by yourself. That's worth the 10 minutes. And if you're a person in this church that's ever spoken behind this pulpit, I just sat there thinking, man, I've got a lot to learn about speaking, because how does she get it that efficient? I am taking too long, so I need to somehow shorten it up. But anyway, the next speaker we have is a woman who's so positive, always has a smile and a firm handshake and a loving hug, and I consider her like an aunt to me. And so, Sister Martinez, would you come up here and share what's on your heart? I want to make sure this mic works for you. The tenor mic.
Praise the Lord, everyone. And happy Mother's Day for all the moms. If you can see me, I'm kind of nervous, Brother Roy. When Sister Lois told me that I was going to be here, I say, no, you got to be kidding. Okay? And I came to Brother Peter, and he said, Brother Peter, I want to make sure, Sister Lois, she lied to me? Or she was sure? And then he said, no, she was not lying to you. Okay? But my heart is about to explode. Because all the prayers, Sister Marin, Sister Linda Brown, Brother Roy, Pastor John Green, they're over here. Isaac is right here. He asked me, he said, Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? I said, son, the only thing you can give me for that day, yes, come to church and be with me. And that's who he is. And my mom, it's been 13 years that I wait so we can be like a real family. And I just, God, he's good. Okay? I just want to share a little something. Brother Roy, 50 years ago, I was 7 years, so I'm 57. in my country, Mexico, when I told my mom this, she said, Mom, he said, Eva, do you remember that? I said, yes. So I was 7 years old. We were very poor. Poor. There was time, there was no food. If we have some tortillas, we would not have water. If we drink water, we would not have food. And my mom, in that time, she was sick. And all my brothers, they were crying because we were hungry. And there was nothing to do. She was sick, and then we don't have nothing to, she don't have nothing to make for us because we were crying. So there was a neighbor. She stopped by, and she said, Drusilla, what's the matter with you? How come your kids are crying? And my mom told them, she told the lady, they're crying because they're hungry and I don't have nothing to do. I don't have nothing to make for them. And she said, come to my house and I will give you corn flour so you can make something to eat for them. And that lady, she gave her a couple a little bit of, you know, corn flour. She made tortillas. And she was sick. And even if she was sick, she made those tortillas for us, one for each one. But you know what the best one is? That she preferred to feed us than eat her. That's what mom can do. She would do anything for mom. It don't matter how bad we behave with them, because like a human, we don't respect them sometimes. We want to do our own things. But God is so good. I had my mom. She went through a lot, like I did. But every mom have a different pain. But one of the things is the love that we have for them. It don't matter how, what they told us, how they make us feel. We still love them, right, Brother Roy? Brother Grant? Brother Peter? So they told me, 10 minutes, I think I'm going to be done in less than 10 minutes. God bless you, everyone. Like I say, Isaac, thank you, mijo. Gracias, mama, por estar aquí. Thank you, mom, for being here. I love you. Te quiero. Dios te bendiga. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day one more time. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Martinez, for sharing your heart. And good move, Isaac. Way to go, man. Congratulations. Respect. Sister Drusilla, I know you probably don't understand everything I'm saying, but thank you for your sacrifice. If there's anything I can tell you about your daughter today, she's one of the most giving people who's always in line to feed everybody in this church. So happy Mother's Day. And our last speaker, and then after she's done, we're going to have a moment of prayer. But our last speaker, don't clap yet, is Sister Cecily Grant. Don't clap yet. Sister Cecily, for those of you who don't know, just had their second child. How long ago now, Sister Cecily? 5 weeks ago, right? And so, very unique situation in that it's so fresh and new. And I said, we want to have Sister Cecily come up. This is their second. The second one is where you start realizing how much more difficult it is. And the man actually has to start getting involved more, you know, if you weren't already. But Sister Cecily, thank you for everything you do. But come up here and share your heart with everybody. Soprano.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Aren't moms amazing? Moms are amazing. I was so nervous about speaking, and my mother-in-law literally just said, just stand up there and start crying. Every mother will understand. And I was like, I'm so tempted. So tempted. But in the words of Jim Gaffigan, a woman is pretty amazing. She creates a baby in her body, then she births that baby through her body, and then she feeds that baby with her body. Can I get an amen for all the mothers out there? God's design is perfect. First off, and I probably cry, please just understand it's the hormones and lack of sleep. But I'd like my mom to stand. She's going to hate me for this. My mom is a pillar of strength, and if you don't know her testimony, I encourage you to find her at some point, talk to her about it. It's very powerful. From the time I was born, she's brought me up in truth, and not ever has she wavered. Not one time. Not once. That's pretty powerful. She's shown me how to trust after heartbreak, how to believe for the good, how to have faith when all hope seems lost, how to stay steadfast in the middle of trials and tribulations, and most importantly, she's taught me how to love people, which I'm more like my dad, so it's kind of hard. Not that I don't love people, but to show it is very hard. And I'm working on it. And by the grace of God, I'm getting there. One thing from the time that we were born till we were at the age of accountability is she always quoted one single scripture to us. And I now quote that to my girls every night before bed. If you know it, quote it with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. That's Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. If you have never quoted that or never said that to your children, I encourage you to do so because it's a great foundation. The one thing that she never taught me to do was cook. I'm a little bit bitter, but it's fine. I'm fine. We're all fine. Somehow we're going to survive. But I love you so very much, and I wouldn't be the mom I am today without you, literally or figuratively. So thank you for investing in me. I became a mom at the end of 2019. It was the best year ever. My poppy girl was born, and let me tell you, she was literally a dream. She ate well right away. She slept through the night. I literally had people comment, "Oh, wow, you don't look that tired." I'm like, "It's because she sleeps. This is amazing." Like, if I could, I don't want to be pregnant again, but if I could just birth children and then have them be as good as her, I would have a lot. I had waited so long to have a baby, and God had finally given me the desire of my heart. When Poppy was 5.5 months old, I found out that I was pregnant again, and I had swore that I would not have a COVID baby. I had promised myself, and it happened, because Jesus knows. I panicked. Carl panicked. We had a moment. Because we had literally just let our families know that we were going to go on a faith journey. And my dad literally, I think, lost his mind. We were like, "Dad, we know this is of God. This is what we're going to do. We're going to buy a camper. We're going to live in that camper. And we're going to move to Montana and start a church." And then I found out I was pregnant with our second. And we were like, "Are we going to do this? Like, Jesus, you really have a sense of humor." It was a lot. Pregnancy is not easy for me, and I know that some women out there love being pregnant, and it's the greatest thing in the world. And it is a blessing. It's a miracle. I'm not going to deny that. I waited for a long time to have a baby, but it does not bode well with me, and I was in pain for a lot of my second pregnancy, especially. I had a lot of sciatica pain, a lot of discomfort. I get big really fast with children, and it's just uncomfortable. So thankful for my sister and her husband that lived with us and helped us through that. Our second miracle was born April 2nd of this year, and it was and has been the hardest season of my life. And I call it a season because that's how my husband refers to it. And I think that's a great way to refer to it because it's not going to last forever. I can't see the light of the tunnel, basically because the bags in my eyes are so big. But it has been very, very, very difficult. Any new moms out there that have had a child that doesn't sleep, that cluster feeds, can I get an amen? Because it is very, very hard. I would literally just sit and cry. She was awake from like 11:30 at night to 4:30 in the morning every day. And then during the day, she'd randomly eat. And it was very, 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 very hard. All that to say that during the time of pregnancy for a mom, for a woman, and then after having the baby, even if you don't get pregnant again, which most people don't, but when you are going through that, that is such a hard time. And it's such an emotional time, and it's such a joyful time, and it's such a sad time, and it's such a all the emotions time. Pastor Peter referred to Inside Out, the little kids movie Inside Out, and it's all the emotions, and you have all the emotions. And I have literally never, ever, ever felt so far from God. Ever. Like, you can sit there, you can pray. I had a mother's devotional that I would try and do every night with a one-year-old. And like, you just feel empty. There's like nothing left to give. You're not sleeping. And if you are sleeping, God bless you. But if you It's so hard. It's so exhausting. It's so frustrating at times because sometimes they're crying. You don't know why they're crying. You don't know what's going on. You try everything to do that you know how to do. And it's literally almost like an alternate reality that you're in. It's like another world that you're in. Like you try and get back and you try and have these relationships with your spouse again or have these relationships outside of just being a mom. And sometimes it can be very, very hard. Not a lot makes sense. And you just kind of feel like you're going insane. Honestly, you're just trying every day to hold on to your sanity. And maybe I'm the only one that this has happened to, but I don't think so. And I don't think that I'm alone in the parent stage or the multiple child stage of life. It's hard. It's exhausting. It's life-changing. And I know that it's going to be rewarding. I know that this last year has not been easy for anybody. It's been challenging, especially as a new mom, and there's new moms in here too that have had to go through it alongside of me. And the seasons that have happened this year are pretty incredible, though. With everything that's crazy, there's been seasons of growth for everybody, whether good or bad. There's been seasons of ups and downs, surprises, sadness, depression, seasons of learning, of understanding. There's been seasons of forgiveness. Families have been mended through this. There's been seasons of giving grace and receiving grace, which is hard to do sometimes. yesterday, I had a whole different message prepared, and I had felt so strongly that God wanted me to talk about it, and then all of a sudden, he didn't, and I panicked, and I was up at 1:30 this morning with my 5-week-old that was not sleeping and would not go to sleep, and I was just crying. I was just sitting in our little camper in the living room crying, so there's not really any space, so if I'm crying, somebody else is going to cry because it's going to wake them up. And I was crying, and I just felt so defeated and so like, ugh, why did I agree to this? I'm like, I'm so foolish. I have nothing to give, like nothing. No words of encouragement are coming out of me right now. This is just a hard, hard time. But my husband he came and he sat beside me and he was like, you know, you were asked to do this for a reason. And I don't have tons of words of wisdom and I don't have all the things and I don't know all the things because I was going to be that mom that's like, my kid's always going to look cute and their nose is always going to be wiped. My daughter got her first pair of rain boots on Easter and wore them with her Easter dress because she wouldn't take them off. And I was like, I'm not going to fight with my 1-year-old because I have a 2-day-old baby right now. Like, I can't do this. So she did not match. Thank you for everybody that thought it was adorable. But when Peter asked me to speak, he really didn't know how I was actually feeling. I'm exhausted. I've had so much change in the last 5 weeks. A new baby. We moved into our camper that we're going to be living in for God knows how long. I'm okay with it. I really am. I have a 1-year-old that acts like a teenager sometimes. I'm like, if you tell me no one more time, I don't know, I'm going to lose my mind. Here, come give your baby sister a kiss, because it'll distract you. I have a dog that just literally got out of diapers. So I had 3 beings in my home with diapers on. I'm just saying, it's been rough. But God is good. And the theme of the Mother's Day this year is closer. And during this last year, there's been so many women that have reached out, so many moms that have given me advice, so many moms that have prayed, so many women that have prayed, that have been there, that have helped, and that's what we need. That's what we need to get back to. I believe that women are the pillar and the backbone of our churches. I believe that with all of my heart. I can tell if I am not steadfastly praying for my husband, he has bad days. Work goes horribly. I'm not saying that life is easy and rosy every time that you are praying or every time that you, I don't know, have that spiritual moment or whatever it is that you need. But I'm saying that we need to step it up a little bit. COVID drew so many lines and put so many barriers on people. And I understand that was one thing God really had to deal with me about, is showing grace and loving people through that. And I did not do good in the beginning. I didn't. I'm just going to let you know, I did not do good in the beginning. But my God is gracious and he's merciful. And if we're willing, he will teach us and he will help us. Getting back to women being the backbone of our church, I felt so strongly, and Pastor Peter confirmed it, and I'm so thankful for his guidance during this, but that we just needed to have a moment for our moms, and not just for our moms, for women who will be moms, for the women who are trying to be a mom and having the struggles. I understand you. I've been there. It's hard. But God knows. He knows and he's faithful. Right. I'm just going to have my crying moment because my mother knows that I could. It's fine. But we need to understand each other, and I feel like we need to be there for each other. And again, I'm preaching to myself. I'm speaking to myself. It's not easy being a mom and being distracted and being a mom and being tired. Being a mom and just being a mom. Just being, even a woman nowadays is just kind of hard. And I'm not trying to make this anti-dad or anti-man at all. But this is a day that's set apart for moms. I'd like it if everybody could stand. We're going to do something a little bit differently. And I feel this so strongly. And I feel that this is what God wants. And I feel that moms and women, if we would just let ourselves have this moment, God is going to do something amazing. Absolutely amazing. If you are a woman and you are 18 and older, I'd like you to come to the front if you're comfortable. Spread out if you need to be. But I would like you to come up to the front, because again, I feel so strongly that this is a God moment and this is a mom moment. We need to strengthen the backbones of our church, of our marriages. We need to be who God wants us to be and who he's called us to be. Come up all the way to the front. Whatever. Don't feel shy. Don't feel shy. God wants to do something amazing. He wants to do something powerful. Oh, keep coming. Make room. Keep coming. Again, if you're uncomfortable, you can go to the sides if you'd like. I just want there to be a spirit of unity that comes with this. How many moms are struggling right now? You can be transparent. It's hard. It's challenging. It's hard to... I was reading Proverbs 31, and I was like, God, there is no way. Literally. To be a Proverbs 31 woman? I lost my mind reading it. I was like, Jesus. Like, I work full time. I now have two kids. And I'm not saying that a stay-at-home mom is not full time. It is hard. I'm doing that right now until I go back to work. And I'm like, wow, I don't know how you do it. I literally don't know how you do it. But he still has such a beautiful purpose and such a beautiful plan for each one of us if we would just let that happen. So what I'm going to do is we're going to have Brittany come up. She's going to lead us in prayer. And I want you to, if you're comfortable, again, please do this at your own comfort. Just find somebody or some buddies to put your hands on to pray with. Again, I want this to be unified. I want this to stand out in our minds. And I want us to grow. I want us to be closer to one another, to help one another, to encourage one another, to uplift one another. I'm going to go way beyond, but I want our marriages to be strengthened. Because it's hard. I want our prodigals to come back because we've lost. And we'll continue to lose if we don't stand up, if we don't fight for it. I want our children to grow up in truth, to grow up loving God and loving people and showing that to a hurting world. And that's only going to happen if we have each other. And it's only going to happen if we're helping each other and loving each other and with each other. So if we could just close our eyes, find somebody to pray with. And we're going to pray over one another. Pray like you've never prayed before. Draw that line. Make it stand. Strengthen one another. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you for who you are. Not only who you are, but who you promised to be. God, you promised to be our protector and our healer and our savior, our friend, our provider. You are Jireh. You are Jehovah, God, and you are all that we need, God. Not necessarily all that we think that we want, but you are all that we need. And so I thank you for that. I thank you for that promise in your word that you will provide what I need and what is best for me. And you will hold me when I'm broken, and you will hold me when I'm weak. You will hold me when I'm confused, Lord. You will hold me, God, and you will guide me, and you are calling me closer. Lord, and I'm not even going to just stop there, God, but I'm going to thank you for this moment. I thank you for these women, God, these men in this church and these families. I thank you, God, that you have called every single one of us to a relationship with you. You've called every single one of us to be saved, and you want to see us in heaven with our families. You want to see us strengthened in our homes. God, you want our marriages to flourish. You want our children to be saved. And so I'm thanking you for that, God. I thank you for this moment and this opportunity to come before you and just say, God, I'm broken. God, I'm confused. God, I don't know what to do. God, my kids aren't sleeping, Jesus. My kids are lost, whatever it is, Jesus. You know, and you called us. You called us to just stand and to sacrifice by just saying, I don't know. You called us, Jesus, to a relationship with you. So, God, I'm asking your anointing to fall on every woman here. God, I'm asking your presence, Jesus, to go from the top of their heads through their feet. God, I pray that you would cover their minds with your power, with your presence, God, and with truth. God, I rebuke every lie of the enemy that we cannot stand, that we are not strong enough. God, I rebuke every lie of the enemy that we are not called to this moment. And I pray, God, that you would be with them. God, I pray that you would give them good thoughts. I pray, God, that you would move in their minds, Jesus, and let it penetrate their hearts and let them believe it, God. Lord, change the way that we think. Jesus, change the way that we think so that we can stand before you knowing, God, that we are worthy to stand before you and that you are standing with us, God. Let us know that there are other women. There are other women who struggle, God, and we don't have to be perfect. Lord, right now I surrender to you and I surrender to your will for my life. I surrender, Jesus, because I can't figure it out and I can't do it alone. So I surrender to the beautiful realization that you are what I need. And I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I will follow you, Father. I commit to that. And I'm going to stumble and I'm going to fall and I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to have bad days. But I'm committing to following you, Jesus. I'm committing to that, Lord. So move in my life. Move in my life, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you, God.
Hallelujah. So now we're going to continue with this. We're going to ask the men and the children, find your mom. And this is, we're not going to all fit up front. It's okay. It's Mother's Day. You do what you're comfortable with. Moms, if you have to go find your husbands, Casey, I'm up here. If you have to go find your husbands, that's okay. I want you all in a little unit, holding hands, arms around each other, wherever it is. Let's go do it. Take a minute here, and then we'll lead you through the next step. Find your family. Come on up here. Girlies, can you come up here by mom? Okay. Let's find our families. Maybe it's your mother-in-law, Josh. You know, you can find the family. I know you got a bad foot. Okay, let's... As you're finished and finding your group. And we're going to do one more prayer after this for the church as a whole. So if you feel a little bit left out at this moment, it's okay. We'll get there. We want to say a prayer for the moms. But men, older sons, I want you to lead it. It doesn't mean everybody sits there and listens, but I want you to pray together as a family. It doesn't have to be something fancy. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It doesn't have to be in tongues or some Bible verse. It could just be a God bless my family. Help us to be closer to you. Evelyn, no. Help us to be closer to you. Touch my wife. Touch our family. Touch our mom. And I'm not going to pray. This is going to be for all of you. So I'm going to start us, but I encourage you to pray together as a family right now. Men, lead this. Pray for your moms. In Jesus' name, thank you, God, for today. Thank you for what you're doing in these families. Families. God, as they reach out to you, as they draw closer to each other, and as they draw closer to you, God, meet them where they're at. God, whatever needs they're at, whatever season they're in, God. God, I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that you'd give them wisdom and anoint them. God, be closer to us. God, help us to be closer to you. God, draw us closer to each other. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now we want to broaden the circle just a little bit more. The theme for today, maybe we didn't have it stapled everywhere, but the theme for today was closer. I'm not trying to violate in any Dane County or anything like that. You do what you're comfortable with. But over the last year and a half, we've been told to be more distant physically. And I'll say it for myself, and I hope, I would guess a lot of you can agree with me. We took that as an excuse to be more distant emotionally. We took that as an excuse to be more distant spiritually. We took that as an excuse to be more distant mentally. Both as families, as spouses, as parents, as mothers, between women, between dads, between men, and between this church. And so it doesn't mean we're bad. It doesn't mean we're failures or anything went wrong. It just means that God is calling us to be closer, to be connected. That's what Pastor Roy started this year, and that's the kind of the theme we've been going with. And so I encourage you now, let's find another family or two around you. Let's do this. If there's somebody that didn't have a family to start out with, I know some of you have already brought somebody in. Maybe your mom wasn't here or your children weren't here. Let's find somebody. Nobody should be alone during this time. Find somebody. If there's anybody alone, find somebody around. Don't make me start calling out names. There you go. If you're alone, don't feel weird about walking up to the nearest family because I just told them to find you. Okay. And we're just going to say a prayer over our church family, okay? So let's get together, Mila. Let's pray that God will bless us as a church, that God would draw us closer to Him and closer to each other. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for everything you've done in the hearts of these moms and these families, God. God, I pray every woman, God, and every man in this church, every child, every boy, every girl, every grandma and every grandpa, God, that you would draw us closer to you. God, Lord, that we would be open and be close to each other, God. Lord, help us to have community the way you designed it, God, so we can reach our world. Let your love flow through us and through our families and through our connections, God. God, your word says that as I draw nigh unto you, you're going to draw nigh unto me, God. God, I don't know who's taking a big step towards you today or who's taking a small step towards you today. I don't know who's taking a big step towards their neighbor today or their friend today or a small step, but God, draw close to them. Let them feel your spirit today like they never have. Let them know you more and be closer to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We wanted to, this is essentially the end of the service. I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to the three women that poured their heart out at this pulpit this morning. Ladies, Sister Caskey, Sister Martinez, Sister Cecily, thank you so much for sharing your heart. Thank you for being open and letting us be a little bit closer to what you're going through. I appreciate you and I appreciate your honesty. One last thing I got to say thank you to is for those of you that see the flowers and the decorations and all that, Sister Brittany, she led us in prayer, but Sister Brittany organizes all this. I just put the tie on and hold the mic. And so as a reminder, there are photo booths out back in the foyer. There's one over there as well. You got to have your own phone. Men, children, go take a picture, have a good attitude, and smile. And moms, you have a happy Mother's Day. Enjoy yourself. Relax. Relax.